Interrupt our series on seven churches this morning to focus on the significant and lasting kingdom impact that men can make both in their families' lives and in other lives around them. And so we're focusing on men today, but this message has some great insights and challenges for women as well. So women, you're not really off the hook completely today. But so let's pray. We want to take a look at one man today, just one man who left a legacy like no other person in the Bible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are just exactly that, our Heavenly Father. Such a good Father as we've sung. You never let us down. You never fail us. You're faithful to us. You affirm us. You love us. You care for us. You guide us. You discipline us. You do it all at a level that's unmatched. And Lord, we're grateful for you and ask that you would just put power on this message by your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Aye. Tucked away in the middle of a long list of Old Testament genealogies is a clear description of how one man can leave a positive and a permanent and a significant imprint on not just one generation, but on the 25 generations following him. 25 generations. In fact, the Bible records the number of sons and grandsons and great-grandsons and great-great-grandsons and great-great-great-great-great-grandsons to number 26,000 men. 26,000 incredible men, 26,000 dedicated fathers, choice men of great character, courageous warriors. Each one of them were outstanding leaders, the genealogy says. And this doesn't include the number of women who were no doubt equally courageous, wives and mothers and grandmothers and sisters and aunts who were equal in stature to the men in this family. 26,000. And the verse is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 40. You don't even have to turn there today. This is our single verse. This is our only verse. 1 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 40. All these were descendants of Asher, heads of families, choice men, brave warriors, and outstanding leaders. The number of men ready for battle, as listed in this genealogy, was 26,000. The Bible says there were 20. I don't know what to say about that. It happens, you know. It's just, yeah. Yeah. What are you? It's okay. It's okay. You know, it's all right. You know. Yeah. See, we feel like screaming like that sometimes, and we don't, right? He's just getting it out, right? Like, we want to do it. We restrain ourselves. Yeah. The Bible says there were 26,000 men who were heads of their families and brave warriors and outstanding leaders, all the result of the legacy of one man. One man. And his name was Asher. Asher. This is one stunning legacy. And legacy is a word we don't really use all that much, but something that each one of us is leaving, whether we know it or not. Whether we want to believe it or not, every single one of us, men or women, is leaving some type of legacy to generations in the future. Webster defines legacy as something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or a predecessor from the past. Now let's talk about Asher. First of all, who is this man named Asher? Well, Asher was one of the 12 sons of Jacob. And therefore, he was father of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Beyond that, there's little known about him. And what we can say about Asher, though, is that he was raised in a dysfunctional family. Now, every family has dysfunction, all right? So don't think yours doesn't, because every family has dysfunction. But when you have 11 brothers and one sister, things were, I'm sure, pretty interesting. And to make matters worse, Asher's father, Jacob, didn't love Asher's mother. She was just merely a servant girl. So Asher, right off the bat, may have been treated differently than the rest of his siblings. Maybe not as well. Maybe not equally. Now, we know from Genesis, don't we, that there was a great deal of rivalry among the sons of Jacob. A lot of rivalry took place. On one occasion, they were angry enough to throw, you might remember this account, they were angry enough to throw their brother into a cistern, into a well. Right? Thanks a lot, bro. You know? And then they sold him to some Egyptian slave traders. They sold their own brother. So let's just say things weren't all that, you know, kosher, all that great in the family of Jacob. There was dysfunction. And Asher was in on this dark family secret that all the brothers had kept. Asher was in on this secret. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us about Asher a whole lot, but we could only assume that he may have felt insignificant. He may have seen himself as insignificant. Growing up, he may have felt that. He may have gotten maybe that vibe from his father, right? That maybe he was just a little bit lesser than the other brothers. And I want to pause and just say that this is the experience of so many people. In their family, they were made to feel insignificant and pushed aside. And there was inequality in the family. And this might be, or might have been, your experience growing up, which makes the story of Asher even more important to you, and I'll tell you why. This is what Asher did. Asher rose above his circumstances. He rose completely above the circumstances in his family. He didn't let his painful family experiences define who he was. He didn't resign himself to a life of insignificance. He didn't live his life in the shadows. He didn't live his life in the background. He refused to live out the pronouncements that his father placed upon him. Maybe the pronouncements that his brothers placed on him. Asher, just go away. You're weak. You're no good. There's no, you know, you're worthless. And he rose above his past, and he went on to live in such a way that everyone wanted to emulate Asher. Everyone wanted to be like Asher. Everyone wanted to follow in the steps of Asher. Now, here's what's interesting. Generations down the road, Moses pronounced blessings on all the tribes of Israel. When they're about to enter the, before they were to enter the promised land. And Moses brought all the tribes together, and he pronounced blessings on all, each and every tribe, all 12 tribes. And this is what he said about the tribe of Asher. Moses said this. He said, let him bathe his feet in oil, and let him be favored by his brothers. Now, what you need to know is that bathing your feet in oil was a sign of honor. It was a sign of dignity. No, not everyone got to get their feet bathed in oil. Only for those who were especially honored, who were esteemed and held high in honor. Moses said that all of the descendants of Asher would be given great honor and be given great dignity. All the descendants of Asher will be given honor. And you know what? Here's the thing. It all started with Asher defining his own course in life and not letting other people define his own path in life. He determined his own steps, his own course in life. He broke the cycle, Asher did. He broke the cycle. Now, what can we learn from Asher? What can we learn? I think the biggest thing that that we can learn is that our life evidently can live on after we pass away. True? We can have a lasting legacy and influence multiple generations well into our future. I like what Beth Moore said. Beth Moore said, time is not running out, time is running toward. And I would add, it's time is running toward the future. And so much of the time we look back, don't we? We look back and we lament our past. We just lament over our past. And I just want to say, we can't fix that. We can't change it. But we can learn from it, can't we? We can learn from our past. We can move past our past. And we can invest in our own lives and make them outstanding. We can invest in our own lives and make them outstanding. We can embrace all of what God's Word has for us. How many want to do that? We can embrace the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and experience healing where it needs healed and receive a changed heart and live out of that changed heart. We can live in that way. We can embrace humility and resist pride. Because surely there's no men here who are proud, right? No men in this room are proud, right? I had a moment of pride yesterday, I think. See, wasn't that long ago. We can embrace compassion and resist callousness and abrasiveness, which is so easy to do. It's so easy to become callous. It's so easy to become cynical. Especially as men, it's easy to become cynical. When we can embrace hope and resist a defeated mentality and pessimism and cynicism, and we can rise above that. How many want to rise above that, right? We don't have to let our past define us. Asher proves it. We can let God define us. And shape our character and shape our future. And a history of family dysfunction doesn't have to define you and me. And I want to say this. As you turn to God fully, the cycle can be broken in your life. It can be broken. Let me just address you as men for just a moment. Some of you have had name tags placed on you. by your parents or your grandparents or your coaches or maybe a teacher or an important adult in your life. And I like Asher, this obscure account, because Asher tells us that those negative name tags of worthless or stupid or loser or you won't amount to anything, that those things can be broken off of our lives, men. They can be broken off of our lives. And the power of the Holy Spirit can break those pronouncements off of those lives. So many of us have lived our whole life out of those pronouncements. We believe those lies. That those who adults in our lives, imposed upon us. We believe those lies, and the Lord wants to break those off of us and break the cycle in our lives. Things don't have to stay the same. You don't have to fulfill all of the negative pronouncements that have been spoken over you. You don't have to fulfill those in your life. Amen? And at the end of our time today, I want to encourage you to respond to the call to break the cycle and make a commitment to break the cycle and start working on your legacy right now. Start working on your legacy right now. So just keep that in mind. Keep it in your back pocket. We're going to come back to that at the end of our morning. Now, what kind of legacy did Asher create? Well, first of all, Asher, he set an example for his children to follow. And maybe you don't have children, but you probably have a nephew. You probably have some nieces. Or you may have some friends who have children, and you're in proximity to influence those children. And so everything about what I'm saying applies to all of us. And someone once said that values are more caught than taught. In other words, a periodic lecture isn't enough for us to instill spiritual values into our children or into our grandchildren. They have to observe the values of the kingdom being lived out of our lives. And so if you're a husband or if you're a father, if you're a grandfather, you're an uncle, you're a Sunday school teacher, you're a coach, the question is, or becomes, what kind of an example are you setting? What kind of an example are you setting? Because whether you know it or not, somebody is retracing your steps right now. Somebody is retracing your steps. Somebody is looking up to you. Somebody is saying, I'm going to follow by what he's doing. I'm going to do what he's doing. I want to act how he's acting. I want to talk like he's talking. Somebody's retracing your steps. And though Asher didn't have a good example, he determined that he would be a good example. And he broke that cycle. And here's the thing. You don't have to have all the answers, but you can be an example of someone who takes their walk with God seriously. You don't have to have all the answers, but you can show the seriousness of your faith to those who are behind you, walking behind you. You can show the devotion of your faith to those who are walking behind you. You can show the passion of your faith to those who are walking behind you. You don't have to have all the answers. And you'll never have all the answers to begin with, so you might as well just, give that gig up, right? You're not going to have all the answers. Who does? Our Heavenly Father. And we go to Him. And when we talk about example, a couple of things that we need to note from Asher. First of all, in 1 Chronicles 7, it mentions all of Asher's sons, and then it mentions a daughter named Sarah. Interesting. Jewish tradition says that Asher wasn't the biological father of Sarah. It's believed that Asher married a widow who already had a 3-year-old daughter. And Asher took her in and treated her like she was his own child. Now, it's interesting because what's more fascinating is Sarah is the only granddaughter mentioned by name in Jacob's genealogy. The only granddaughter, Sarah. The only one in the entire genealogy of Jacob, Sarah is mentioned by name. Now that is amazing to me. Evidently, in this male-dominated culture, Asher set a high standard of how men should treat their wives and should treat their daughters. All right? And he recognized this granddaughter, and he affirmed her, and he raised her up to be as equally important as the grandsons, and he said, you are of equal value and importance. And so he was blazing the trail in this regard, in that day, setting the example how you should treat women, how you should treat your mother, how you should treat your wife, how you should treat your daughter, your granddaughter. And so that's a great example. How many think that's a great example? Secondly, the verse we read says that all of Asher's descendants were choice men. And the word actually means pure. It means polished. It means shining. All of the Asher's descendants, all of them, the Bible says, all of Asher's descendants had an outstanding character. Amazing. His descendants were men and women whose characters were much brighter than all the rest. They were devoted to God. They aligned their lives with principles and the patterns that were found in the scriptures. They were what the Bible called pure in heart. And they were men and women of integrity, and they were men and women of honesty, and they were men and women whom everyone respected. Their character was outstanding. It was a cut above. It was outstanding. And Asher tells us something, men. Asher tells us something. Leading well involves living well. Leading well always involves living well. We can't expect to have a legacy that extends into the future if we're not living well right now. If we're not living well right now, we're going to extend a legacy, but it's not the one that you want. It's not the one that you want to pass on. And so he sets this example for his children to follow. That was one part of the legacy that he left. And the second part is this. He left a legacy of family first. Family first. Maybe the most remarkable accomplishment is how Asher impacted his family. 1 Chronicles chapter 7:40 says, all these were descendants of Asher. They were heads of families. Now I think the order here is purposeful. The order here is very purposeful. God didn't list the role of warrior first. God didn't list the role of leader first. God listed the role of heads of families. They were leaders of their families. And Asher left a legacy of caring for his family. His message was strong, and he backed it up with his life. And every generation that followed him heard these words, family first. Family first. Say it with me. Family first. I know that several years ago, Christian psychologist James Dobson, with Focus on the Family, he wrote these words. He said, I believe everything within me the husbands hold the key to the preservation of the family. Husbands hold the keys to the preservation of the family. And so, man, we can make a mark. We can make a mark way into the future, but it really starts right now. It starts with pursuing Jesus. It starts with pursuing the kingdom of God. It starts then with living out God's word and God's will as best we can before and in plain sight of all of our family members and friends. And so he left a legacy of family first. A legacy of family first. Let's just say it again, family first. It's such a good reminder. The other thing that Asher did was he left a legacy of being a leader. First Chronicles says all of these were descendants of Asher. They were heads of families. They were choice men. They were brave warriors. They were outstanding leaders, the Bible says. Now, and I'll honestly say, this is something that we found ourselves saying to our boys all the time when they were growing up. Anyone can be a follower. Anyone can be a follower. It doesn't take much to be a follower. Anyone can be a follower. There are far too many followers and far too little leaders in our world. Anyone can be a follower. And Asher instilled in his children and maybe grandchildren and great-grandchildren, he instilled in his children courage and bravery and a strong work ethic and a deep commitment to do things right and do the right things and the God things and not follow the crowd. And he taught them to be outstanding among the crowd, to be a leader, to be an outstanding leader, to stand out among all of your peers. Don't hang with those who are just following along. Be outstanding. And they must have seen something, or must have seen that in Asher, that these outstanding qualities, because all of the descendants that followed him, think about this, all of them says, I want to be like my grandfather, Asher. I want to be like my great-great-grandfather, Asher. I want to be like my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, Asher. It never stopped. Never went away. 25 generations, and they're still following his example. Don't you find that fascinating? That's just unbelievable. 25 generations, they're still talking about Asher. 25 generations, and he's still remembered. He's still outstanding among the crowd. And so he left this legacy of not followers, leaders. Be a leader. Be outstanding. Get out front and lead when nobody else will. Do something. Don't hang back. Be a leader. And the question becomes, how did Asher raise such sons and daughters? How did he do it? Well, here's how he did it, one generation at a time. And really, Asher's impact lasted one, maybe two, maybe three generations. Evidently, he had this keen awareness that there was only one shot at this deal. Only one shot, right? We only have one shot at this. And then we're gone. One shot at this deal. In Asher's mind, I think there's no time to waste. Every moment was a moment of training. Every moment was a moment of teaching, a moment of mentoring, encouraging, modeling, demonstrating, talking, discussing, pointing people to God, pointing his family to the Lord, praying. scripture reading. Every moment counted in terms in Asher's mind and heart. And he said, I only have one shot at this deal. I might have two generations. If I'm fortunate, if God blesses me, I might have three generations. That's it. And we talk about people, you know, sometimes we talk about people in the Bible that we wish we could talk. You ever think about this? You have some people that you like to talk to in the Bible, you know, and just interview them, right? Meet them. Anybody? Have a few? Have you got somebody in mind? Paul, John, Peter, Moses, you know, Elijah. How many have at least one person you're like, I'd like to meet that guy, right? Asher should be at the top of the list. Asher should be at the top of the list, I think. There's a 1,000-year gap between Asher's life and this record in 1 Chronicles. 1,000 years. Think about that. 1,000 years. 1,000 years and around 25 generations, and Asher's family is still on track. They're still on track. And he instilled this in his children, this sense of self-worth and accomplishment, who in turn instilled it in their children, who in turn instilled it in their children, and instilled it in their children, and instilled it in their children. And it just kept going on and on and on. And now, even though Asher himself, he's dead and gone, he's been dead and gone for years and decades and centuries, his legacy lives on. His legacy lives on. Let me share a story with you and we'll wrap this up today. In the 19th century, there was two families that were like night and day. The head of one family was a man by the name of Max Jukes. Funny name. Max, not the first name, I don't know. Pretty cool first name. Maxwell. Max Jukes. And the head of the other family was a man by the name of Jonathan Edwards. Max Jukes was an atheist. He lived a godless life. He married a girl who was also wanted nothing to do with God. And from their union, there were 310 descendants who died as paupers. 150 were criminals. 7 were murderers. 100 were drunkards. More than half of the women were prostitutes. 540 descendants cost the state over $1 million. The Jukes family. Jonathan Edwards was one of the greatest preachers during the revival period of the 19th century. Have you ever heard the sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God? Just Google it, read it, and hang on. He lived at the same time as Max Jukes, and Edwards married this godly Christian girl, and somewhere along the line, someone did an investigation of Edwards' descendants, and here's what they discovered. Of the 1,394 known descendants of Jonathan Edwards, 13 became college presidents, 65 college professors, 3 United States senators, 30 judges, 100 lawyers, 60 physicians, 75 army and naval officers, 100 preachers and missionaries, 60 authors of prominence, 1 vice president of the United States, 295 college graduates, among whom were governors of states and ministers to foreign countries. His descendants did not cost the state a single penny. Max Jukes, Jonathan Edwards. The life we live And the decisions that you and I make today will affect multiple generations after us. Multiple generations after us. I don't want people to be talking about me now. I want people to be talking about me in the future. How about you? In the future. He left a legacy. And all the time we're talking about leaving inheritances. But the most important thing that we can leave is a legacy. Not just an inheritance. A legacy. Something that people can follow and emulate and retrace the steps that you took. Amen? Now I want to give a little caveat, balance this out some. It's true that you can do all the right things that Asher did to provide a godly and long-lasting legacy. You can lean toward the future and you can make every effort to influence future generations with the kingdom. And you can see that legacy unravel as family members make destructive choices. Choices that go contrary to God's will and God's word. And you saw that happen in the era of Israel's kings, where one king was fully devoted to the Lord and lived out that devotion in front of his family, only to see his sons and daughters turn away from God. And if that's your experience, the Lord wants to heal your pain today. If anyone knows about rejection, it's Jesus, and he wants to come near you today. If you've done all that you could do, you've done the best that you can do to provide a really healthy and godly legacy, only to see maybe some of your family members just turn away from that legacy, and it hurts, and it just creates this deep ache and pain in your life. God really wants to heal that in your life today and come near to you and minister to you by the Spirit. But let's pray this morning, can we? God, we come to you and it seems like a tall order, but God, it's doable, Lord, with your power and strength and with the inspiration of your Spirit, the motivation of your Holy Spirit, and the encouragement of others. We can leave a legacy that's unmatched, God, for our future generations. I think of the psalmist and what the psalmist says, Lord, Psalm 112, how blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commands. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. And that's what we want, Lord. And we want to begin our legacy right now. We want to begin it in our hearts and with our relationship with God. And we want to walk that relationship out openly before our family and our friends. We want to be bold in it and strong in our relationship with you. So I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to do this morning. If you're just listening, if you want to make a commitment to break the cycle in your life, maybe you've received some negative pronouncements and been really living those out. You just heard messages over and over about you know you're second rate. You're not going to amount to anything, and all those negative pronouncements. And maybe you feel insignificant, and you really still feel that way today. God wants to break the cycle in your life. You are significant, and you can leave a different legacy, a kingdom legacy. So if you want to make a commitment to break that cycle in your life and really not live out of that of that negative name tag that somebody's put on you. I want you to be so bold as to come and stand to my left. Who would be the first one to do that? I don't want to live out of that negative name tag. You're no good. Yes, Lord. Now, maybe for you, you want someone to covenant with you and join you in prayer to see one of your family members have a prodigal experience. Maybe they knew the Lord and they've drifted away and they're finding themselves in a place of despair or darkness. And you really want somebody to pray with you today. I want you to come over here and stand to my right. Just come up, boldly stand to my right. You've got some family members that you want to join in prayer and covenant in prayer with somebody that they would return, their return to the Lord. Who would come and stand? Who would come and stand? Yeah. And what some of you on the prayer team, just come and stand behind these that have come. Just stand behind them. Just begin to quietly start praying for them. Yeah. Some of you that are leaders, you want to come and just begin to pray. Yes, Lord. This morning, too, I just want to say this. And if you want to make a commitment just to be purposeful with your children, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, any family members that you have influence over, you want to be purposeful in your life and live out a godly life before them, I just invite you to stand where you're at. You want to be purposeful in that legacy building. You want to be purposeful. You just don't want to drift through life and find yourself 10, 5, 10, 15 years down the road and have yourself saying, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have spent this time. I wish I would have said this. Let's not live with regrets. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. We pray for those, Lord, that have drifted from you. Pray for all those family members. Who've wandered off. God, bring them back, Lord. Bring them back, Lord. Let them come to their senses and turn to you and come running to you as their Heavenly Father. Let them turn and run, not run away, but run towards you, Lord. We pray that they would run towards you. They come to their senses, Lord. The conviction of the Holy Spirit would fall on them, and they say, this is not bringing me anything, God, but you can bring everything to me. You can bring life and joy and peace back to my soul. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just meet them, God, at that point of darkness and hopelessness, God, and turn them around in Jesus' name. I pray for those that have had name tags slapped on their chest that says, you're no good. We didn't want you to begin with. You're not amount to anything. We break that pronouncement off in the name of Jesus. You are a son and daughter of the Most High God. He loves, He loved you enough to sacrifice His own life for you. You're not worthless. You're priceless. You're priceless. You're priceless. Purchased. Purchased with the very life of Jesus. And then there's no reason to hang your head down low. You can hang your head up because of the Lord. God, we commit to You today. We commit to being purposeful. Forgive us, God, for being lax. Forgive us, God, for letting up. Forgive us, God, for letting down. We want to be purposeful in living for You to the fullest that we can live. And we want to spend our time going toward, not looking back, but living in the moment and pressing forward into the future. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Asher. Thank You for the great example. We're going to shoot for the stars. Asher was an incredible man. Bless all the men today. Let them rise up. Rise above their past. Rise above their circumstances. Let them rise above. Give them the determination and the courage and the humility that they need to rise above. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Be blessed.